What's up, all my good peoples? Welcome again to Wonder Why with L Wonder. On this podcast, what we will be doing is I'm going to have a special guest featuring my little cousin, Baby Terry, and we're going to be diving into self-care. It's more of an interview type setting where I'm going to be interviewing him because this guy has been through so many things within the short period of time that he's been alive. But I just want him to speak on a topic of self-care and how he had to step back and allow time for him to reevaluate who he is and what he does in order for him to be the best him for his children, for in his family. So go right ahead and sit back, relax, enjoy this episode of Wonder Why with L Wonder, featuring my little cousin, Baby Terry. Thanks. Let me introduce you to my guest this week. My guest this week is family. This is a family thing. Y'all heard me talk about family affairs. Y'all heard me talk about focusing on the family. So this week, I got my family with me, and I'm going to let him introduce himself. Go ahead, cuz.
What's up? I'm Layton Jordan, a.k.a. Baby Terry, because my dad was Big Terry. I'm the younger cousin, probably more entertaining cousin from Mr. L Wonder. I'll take that one. I'll take maybe not the smartest, but definitely the most entertaining. I'm just very happy. You were on my podcast, and I'm very happy to be on yours, man. I'm very proud to see what you're doing.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. See, he invited me on his podcast. What was it? It was sometime over the summer.
You were like my first or second guest. Okay. I was like, yo, I got to get my big cousin on here. We talked about a lot of stuff. It was fun, man.
We did. And we had a ridiculous conversation. Like, that conversation went on. That was a conversation for the ages. Like, we was on that thing for at least
a good 90 minutes or so.
Yeah. At least about close to 2 hours.
Right.
But it was real good. I really enjoyed myself. And I'm very thankful. I'm very excited. I'm very happy that you are on my podcast on Wonder Why with L Wonder. I just want to make sure. I'm so used to calling you Baby Terry.
Dude, you can. Dude, anyone like that knows me as that, I love it. I've never not liked it. It's just Baby Terry. That's just kind of what it is. Especially because Big Terry was so dope.
Oh, yeah. That's the oldest. Our grandma had 9 children, and his father was the very first child. I'm the oldest grandchild, but his father was the first child of 9. And his father was he established so much. He established a lot of order among the family. When I was growing up, I remember anytime I knew about my Uncle Terry, I just knew about him making sure you was doing what you still supposed to be doing in school, making sure you was respecting the adults. And if you didn't, then he was going to come and hem you up.
I can imagine that being a scary sight. Like, I'm going to tell Big Terry, like, listen, mom, we don't have to go that far. It's not a big, we don't have to escalate this. This is a tier one situation. You're trying to take it to tier 5. We'll leave it at tier 1. Call Moan. He's smaller. Like, what about Nanny? Like,
Terry wasn't no joke. Terry wasn't no joke. He was like 6 foot plus. He wasn't no joke. He was all muscle, everything. He was in the military. It was ridiculous. But I want to get to the topic at hand. Now, just a FYI, just so y'all can understand, this week we are going to be talking about, not just this week, but this week, next week, and we're going to give it a third week in a row. We're going to be talking about self-care. Self-care. Mm-hmm. Now, self-care can mean so much to so many people, and I think self-care was perfect because it can piggyback off of where we were at last week, well, for the last 2 weeks. And for the last 2 weeks, we really wanted to touch on moving forward and being able to deal with losses, being able to deal with disappointments, being able to deal with setbacks, being able to deal with disappointments in yourself, frustrations, failures. So I think this is going to be this is going to piggyback off of that. And the way I really came up with this concept, I didn't come up with this concept, but the way that we came up to use this concept is last week, right before the show last week, me and my wife was riding in a car, and you know, she's been on her little fitness kick lately, and her virtual trainer, which is crazy to me, but she's real dedicated. She got a virtual trainer, and his fiance be on the shows with him, and she's a musician, and she just recently came out with the song called Self Care. Now I can't shout this person out. I don't know names. If she wanted to tag it in here, whatever the case may be, it is what it is. But this song is called Self Care, and it started up a conversation between me and her, and it kind of led to what I feel like is very important after dealing with stuff. So the reason why I really wanted to have my cousin on the show is because, dude, you've been through a lot.
Most of it self-induced, yeah.
Regardless, like, and most of, but yeah. You know what? Most of our stuff is self-induced. Let's be honest. Yeah. How much of your stuff is it was happening because of you? Most of our stuff is self-induced. You're absolutely right. But regardless of the fact, I think one of the major things that I like about a story is just like that song. It say we fall down, but we get up. I think we can focus on how many times we fail. We can focus on the failures, the mess ups, the drama. But I like the fact that you got up, that we got up. So particularly, before we start any of that stuff, what's your idea of what self-care means?
Self-care to me in that context is to find ways to heal from whatever trauma, either major trauma or like a major trauma or just like things that are inconveniences that could cause trauma or cause a discouragement yourself. And I think for me, it's find ways to be productive, because self-care in my context is not doing anything destructive when I'm in anguish. Because you're always going to find, just like with addiction, you're always going to, if you're in anguish, you're always going to find something to be in anguish about if that thing that you're reaching for to make you feel better is destructive. So like, I'm drinking because I had a rough week. But then what is the demarcation for rough week? Like, you got hit by a car, you got attacked by a bear, your favorite team lost. Like, what considers is a rough week? Like, oh, I stubbed my toe. Like, so that's 8 shots of vodka. Like, it's Tuesday. Like, yeah, rough week. You stubbed your toe, but like, it's trying finding ways to be productive to get to rid myself of any pain that I'm feeling.
I like the way that you put that. I really like the way you put that, because I think some of the keys that you spent on there was the fact that you was finding ways to be productive. A lot of times, just like we talked about, and I know I've been hurt before. I've had some losses. I've had some disappointments. I've even created some. But I think being able to find ways to be productive, like, first off, okay, let's tap into some stuff. Like, what's some of the stuff, if you don't mind sharing, what's some events that made you have to tap into being, I mean, that made you have to address yourself?
I think, so when I was 23 years old, I was in a really shitty relationship. And when I was also dealing with the destruction of my first kid's mom. We're just at each other's throat the entire time. So around this time, 10 years ago, I was vividly suicidal. And so much so, I tried to kill myself the day after my birthday, because, I mean, I'm going to go kill myself on my birthday. That's too cliche. But afterwards, I was like, all right, it's January 4th, go ahead and wipe out. But so, and I was, after getting out of the mental ward, which is, shout out to Shane McNeil, one of the dudes that helped me out through that situation when I was in the mental ward trying to kill myself. I was like, I'm not gonna let myself become that depressed again and that hurt. And I just started partying a lot, like just lots of drinking, lots of MDMA, just being irresponsible, because I didn't know how to heal from that pain that I was feeling. And I just became self-destructive. So I took all that anger and sadness and just became self-destructive and angry. And that didn't help, because I also got married at that time. And I'm still not healed, but I'm still being self-destructive while married to this person. And I think I was able to start to try to find some resemblance of happiness in like 2015. Like, by then we were separated and I was actually more productive and efficient. I was working at a job that I liked and I was around people that I was like, everything was positive, everything was moving forward. And everything was going fine until December 16th, 2017, when my dad, your Uncle Big Terrell, like I got a call from Uncle Squeak that he died. And from there, things just kind of sucked because I was dealing with the guilt of not being a better son. Like he had been trying to reach out to me for years after he got out of prison. And I just wasn't allowed, I wouldn't allow myself to be in that space to reach back out to him. Mm-hmm. And after, and I was like, and I told my girlfriend at the time, I was like, yo, next year I'm gonna reach out to my dad, gonna smooth everything over. Like he needs to meet his grandchildren. Like I wanna make this happen. And the year he died, I just like, I procrastinated and it cost me everything. And that night, I don't remember much of it, but just be not even just because I did anything too drastic, but just like so numb that entire time. Like I remember I just left that house and I just went to this super weird strip club and just like drank. And then like I went to this after party where I saw my homeboy Pat Igwe, and I didn't expect to see him, but it was like he was at the representation, like the pillar of, hey man, things are going to be okay. Just try to focus on the positive now. But even though you just heard the worst news, you called me and we had been Facebook friends for a while, but I think that's the first time we had ever conversed as adults. I think ever. Yeah. Like where we knew each other, heard each other's voices, and you were very encouraging and you were telling me how, hey man, you have a family up here. You can always reach out to us. And throughout the whole burial process, you and Uncle Cornell, you guys were a lot of, again, that pillar in that situation that I was able to lean to if I had any questions, if I had any concerns, if I was feeling down. Like I either talked to you or Uncle Cornell every day from the moment that my dad passed until up until like the funeral moving on afterward. And then after dad passed, bury him, my relationship falls apart because after my car died, so I wasn't able to go to work. So I'm just at home, my relationship's done. And everything that I had planned for the future, everything that I wanted to do, I had nothing. And so I ended up moving into my cousin's house. And then when you're in despair, the worst thing you can be is isolation. I was isolated a lot. I don't have that relationship. I wasn't really leaning into my family, wasn't really leaning into my friends. I was just by myself. And go ahead.
No. I'm sorry.
So just like, so all of 2018, I was spiraling. I went back to partying a lot, went back to using MDMA a lot, went back to drinking a lot. Like I'd still go to work and everything, but like around this time, 2 years ago, again, I was vividly suicidal. But I ended up, I was like, and it was funny because I moved with my grandmother and my grandfather passed away in 2004. But I felt his presence around the house. And that's the first time I felt my dad's presence too. Anytime I'd be at my like lowest, like that's it, I'm done, I'm out, I'm exiting, I'm killing myself. Something would just push me, be like, no, you're not. And like that feeling, it felt like, yo, that's just your dad going, no, you're not, you gotta live. Mm-hmm. Like, no, you're not. You gotta come up with a plan, but you're gonna live. It's just every time it would get bad, I just felt that push of Terrell Sr. Like, nah, you're gonna do something. It's gotta be drastic, but you're gonna live. And I end up hitting my boy Matt, who lives in Orlando. And I was like, because I just want to move there. Like I was gonna stay with another friend who Charmaine.
Before you get to that point, let me take a quick, brief pause because I know where you're going with that.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry. But before you get to that, let me recap for a minute. So you just tell, so I asked you, have you had any situations? Because I know your personal story. Me and you have had many conversations. So mm-hmm. I didn't know that all of this was so close. I didn't know that all of this is within 10 years with everything happening like it did.
Yeah.
So you was in a really bad relationship. You end up getting married and that it spiraled off and you became suicidal from that, from a relationship. Now, ain't it crazy that, you know, a relationship can either, that's like a love and happiness, something that can make right. you do right, that can make you do wrong. Something that can have you doing all types of positive things.
Yeah.
Something that can just tear you all the way down. And I think that's very important for us to really understand and grasp a hold of is we definitely got to be conscious of relationships. That's one of the first things that we talked about, mm-hmm. relationship goals. But from that relationship, it led to a suicidal mentality.
Because I felt worthless in the sense of I put so much into that relationship,
mm-hmm.
and so much, like the one that ended, like you get used to certain things. Like I was used to seeing my daughter every day, waking up, she's right there. And then to have it kind of like taken away from you,
but from and there's no way to I'm sorry.
Get it back. Oh, you're good. Get it and no way to get it back. Like I was like, what am I doing? But so my confidence was shot, dude. Like I'm usually pretty confident in myself, but just like if I'm doing so much for this person and wanting and like just wanting to be with this person and loving as much as I can, and then that falls apart, clearly I'm a piece of shit and there's nothing going for me.
So on top of that, now it's dealing with your confidence. And I'll be honest, like as a man, that's one of the hardest blows that we can take is a blow to our confidence. It screw up. And I mean, we just do some real talk around here. It can mess with, you know, one of the most important parts that we think of, which is our sex game. It can mess up, you know, how we raise our children. It can mess up work. I know when I go through different things, you know, how I react at work, how I react around the house. So you had all of this stuff going on. And then once you feel like, so what you started doing, and this is why I think it's important how you define self-care as what word did you use when you said?
Destructive.
No, but you described self-care as a productive.
Yeah, productive
method. And in this instance, you started going when you was first going through it, and you're not the only one. And I like you said this because I went through the same exact thing when my wife had passed away. Many people didn't see it, but I felt like I just need some good around me. I just need to have fun. I know it's not real, but I just need to at least feel like I'm having a good time. Right. And that's where the kicking it, the partying, the drinking, and all the other stuff can start. So did that help you? Did that help you feel better?
It did not, because when I get in that dark spot, I start remembering everything. I have a pretty good recall. Mm-hmm. Like I don't remember but I tie emotions to so many of my good memories and so many bad memories. Like to so many things I do with a lot of emotion in it for the most part. And so I'd be on their Instagram page just looking, and it's like 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, why am I looking at this stuff? But it's just like, I'm looking to just hurt myself more. So it's like
crazy.
It's dueling demons. But, and I think the biggest blessing was moving in my grandmother, because I had two people who were very similar working for me spiritually, my grandfather and my dad.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like my dad did his most important fathering from the afterlife, because just that push of like, yo, remember who you are, remember who you are. And I, as I'm going through it, I'm like, yo, I'm the son of Terrell Jordan Sr. I'm a Jordan. I take that last name very seriously. I always shout it out because one, I'm a junior. And so I never changed my name when I was growing up, because obviously my mom and dad didn't raise me. But like, I'm not only was it the last name Jordan, but like I'm a junior. So someone thought enough of me and my creation to be like, no, I'm staking claim to you right now.
Mm.
So whatever you do ties back to me. Luckily, not vice versa. But so it's just... And so, and I named my son as like, nah, no matter what, like you're Jordan, like me and like, and I may not have had a great relationship with him, but I had a good relationship with Uncle Squeak. Mm-hmm. I talked to Uncle Squeak a lot. I got a better relationship with Nanny, like got a better relationship with you and like and my cousins and stuff. So just like, no, like the Jordan isn't just about Terrell. It's about everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's everyone, each one of those eight other children, each one of my cousins, like all of us, you know? And so in the future moving forward, we come from a good line, a very prideful, very headstrong line, but a good line. We care about each other. We care about what's right. And so
that's good.
Coming out of it, and I got the idea to go to Florida, And everybody was just like, no, don't do it. You're leaving everything. It's like my grandmother, my mom's like, well, you just gonna leave your kids. Like, if I stay here in this rut that I'm in, they are gonna bury me before 2020. Because there's only so much. This is in 2018.
So 18, you going through all of this. You just said, I gotta get out. I gotta get out.
Go ahead. No, like, and I've always wanted to leave Ohio. And it's not that I hate Ohio. I love it. It's my home, especially Columbus. But I felt like there's something else. There's other cultures that I wanted to see. Like, I'm leaving again, but just like there's other places that I want to be. There's other, even if I want to come back. And I think because I love my family and I'm not beefing with anybody, that I can just reach out and call them. I'm not running away from my family. I'm trying to run to seeing if I can be happy. Mm-hmm. And a large part of that, like, I left in March and I was like, come heck or high water, I'm going. And I remember the night I leave, I get to Atlanta to just sleep with my cousin, Quentin. And I'm there just resting up and everything. I'm still leaving that same day. He's like, hey, man, I talked to Shrika. Why don't you just stay here? Stay in Atlanta. You don't have to go in Orlando. Like, your housing situation really isn't set up. Like, you don't know what's going on. Just stay here. You have a car. We can get you a job and everything. And I'm like, bro, I got to do this. Mm-hmm. Because if you're going to take that leap, you got to take that leap. Mm-hmm. You can't take that leap and, like, open. If you're going to jump out of a plane, you have to. There's a certain amount where you have to open it at the last moment. I wanted to get to where I was going to open at that last moment. Mm-hmm. Because I would have that regret creeping in on me, and I'd feel like the you're not tough enough or you're not brave enough thing would still come back and creep on me.
So, well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, so I told him, like, look, I'm gonna go down there, and if things are bad, I'll come back up next week. Just give me 7 days. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's like, I'm gonna make it here. And so I get down there that night, my battery and alternator go out in Orlando. My homeboy who I ended up staying with, I just hit him up to have a contact. So I was like, if I got to do this by myself, I got to sleep in homeless shelters or as long as I got my car, I'll get a job. I'll make this work.
Oh, so and you didn't have a plan.
No, my plan was get there. I don't know if you know this, but a lot of my plans growing up is, hey, get there. There's a whole other story from my life from 2005 to 2009 that literally just said, get there.
Get there. Okay.
Don't know how you're going to make it, but get there. So I get there. Like
another show idea. Get there.
Right. And this is when I start to come out of it a little bit. It's twofold. It's weird. Like, I hit my boy up. I let him know, hey, I'm in town. And he has his family there, so I can't stay with him, which is fine. I wouldn't expect it to anyway. I just wanted to have a contact on there. My homeboy Matt comes through. We try to check my battery and everything. He's like, no, I gotta go get a battery. So, but he has to go do family stuff. So I walk a mile up to the nearest Walmart to buy a battery. Here's a funny thing, and this is what I'm not a very religious person, but man, God is hilarious and productive. And so I get there and I'm looking at my battery. And it's built for like a Honda. I'm in a Jeep. And the battery that I need costs like $100-some-odd bucks. I was like, how did I make it even to Orlando after having this super rickety car for you? Like, the terminals are rusted out to where, like, it wasn't turn on, like, it was done. And luckily, another thing why God is dope, at least especially in this situation, my dude Matt runs an auto body shop. Like, he buys cars and sells and stuff like that. And so his homeboy could put a new alternator in there for me, and I didn't have to get a new one. And so, and this is all happening on day three of me being in Orlando. Dude, and a lot of it, and so I get down there, the next day I have a job interview. Mm-hmm. Boom, dope. It's a sales job, but I have a job. And so Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm able to sleep in my car Monday night, get dressed, and I'm glad I got a Planet Fitness membership. Go to Planet Fitness, shower, put on my nice clothes, walk out, go to interview. And they say, hey, we should let you know by Thursday. So I'm like, all right, cool. I'm going back to my house. I got to find something to kind of do till Thursday. They call me literally 20 minutes after the interview, like, hey, can you start Thursday? I was like, and we get paid weekly. So boom, I'm there. I said, just get there. Things are going to kind of work its way out. The real other reason too, I was just like, hey, this doesn't have to be a permanent job because I got hired at the Walgreens HQ. But okay. Something was just going on with my background check to where it wasn't like, and a bunch of people had their stuff delayed. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'm working the sales job. I'm able to eat, take care of stuff, pay Matt and mom that I was staying with and just survive. Mm. And part of the self-care is having good people around you. Mm. So things happen that are positive and I'm building this friendship with my homeboy, Matt. Like me and him were cool before I moved down there, but he's become literally like a brother to me because having him there to encourage me in the do positive and be positive and seeing his positive energy and kind of just feed off that made everything go better. Like I felt like my dad was like easing off because all right, cool, it's not dire. So anytime I needed advice, I would always reach up, pray up to God and then be like, hey God, if you're there, pass my dad the phone. I want to talk to him. And so like that, I started working out again and just being in a different environment. It's being around a different culture, like waking up and seeing palm trees on my way to work. Like I take I-4 in Orlando going to work and that would just raise my mood. Like it's sunny, it's warm. I live where there's palm trees. Yo, this is wild. Like having that helped my self-care so much.
So,
and yeah, go ahead.
That's really good. That's really good. Cause I'm hearing what you're saying. And part of your self-care through all of this stuff that was going on in your life for years was simply removing yourself out of a negative, away from the negative. And I'm not saying simple as if it was like, oh, I should have did this years ago. I'm just saying, but you had to eventually move yourself out of a negative space or out of what was surrounding you that was negative. And you started understanding the necessity and the power behind, and I'm not trying to be like a New Day commercial, but the power behind positivity.
It's true though.
Like
it is. It's and putting yourself in position to where you have to feel you deserve more and you have to put yourself in a position to where you can work for it. Like two people for the most part, I can equate me being just happier while I was in Florida. My homegirl Val, who I met in Orlando at Walgreens, who's like my best friend, and Matt. Like I was talking to one of those two every day. And just being around them and their positive energy helped me so much. And it's not to say anything to my friends or family in Ohio, but it's just like, there's already pretext. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? There's always a history there. And for what I needed something new. I needed something to be excited about, to have like, I needed to have a plan for a future. I wasn't evolving when I think about it. If everything stayed perfect as well as with my car and my relationship, I wouldn't have evolved. Like I'm now in a position in 2020 for the rest of my life to be everything that I could have never even hoped it to be.
Here, that's good to hear. So I like what you said there. You said putting yourself in position where you feel like you deserve it, where you deserve more. That's a very powerful statement. And I think that is necessary, especially when you're going through stuff. It's just like you said, most of the time when you're going through stuff, the first thing you do is you look down on yourself and you, well, this is why this happened. I did this and nothing's ever going to be good. And I remember having conversations with you at that time. And I didn't realize this during the time, which teaches me, you just have to stay in a certain place whenever you're talking to certain people because you just don't know what they're going through. I didn't know that you was going through all of this. Now we've had conversations about certain things and I was able to have talk to you and you was very open with me. And I appreciate that fact. You was very open with me, but you was also very receptive as well. But I like the fact that you said you had to put yourself in that position. Now, how do you think the self-care, because I think you're starting to get to this because you was talking about the mm-hmm. friends you had. How mm-hmm. did that self-care start impacting your situation?
I think it's to, I don't know if you know this, but in our family, the Jordan men are quite risk takers. we are ones to set our minds to something.
I don't know.
set a general plan and attack it. And I think with the whole Florida move, it's just like, yo, my general plan is get down there. What I do after, like, I got a job lined up, so I know whatever happens, I'm going to have a place for it. Even if I have to sleep in my car, go shower to Planet Fitness, head to work, I'm eventually going to build myself up to where I want to be. And for me, it's like getting back to taking those risks productively.
I like that.
Because it's like, I went to a place where I at least knew one person. Auntie Miranda was there too. Mm-hmm. But just like, I wanted to get there and just see if I can make it.
Mm-hmm.
And see if I can just not absolute flounder. I was there. Like, I think in every day, just focused on getting better at something. Like, I grew up playing sports. And so you're always trying to get better. And for me, that's when I'm happiest, when I have some semblance of structure to be efficient and productive, mm-hmm. which allows me to have my relaxing time be so much greater.
That's good. See, I like that in you, because I think as we tend to grow up now, and I think it's so crazy how you were talking, and I'm guaranteeing that you can talk about some times before, I'll say pre-2010, mm-hmm. where the rah-rah lifestyle was fun. It seemed exciting. And we all have that that moment when, you know, for me, it was like, I came up, look, I remember at one point in time, I got my ear pierced, my one ear pierced at the mall. I went to Rite Aid and got a little piercing gun and pierced my ear and pierced my nose because I wanted to be like Pac. I thought I was a thug. 1 week, I thought I was a thug. The next week, I thought I was a pretty boy. It was like trying to find your identity.
Right.
You're trying to find your identity, but then you get to a point where you realize, I can't have all of this mess. I can't have all of this hectic mentality, this negativity, this stuff that's surrounding me, that's doing nothing but killing me. I can't have this around me. So I like what you said, because you said that you had to be strategically focused. You had to be a strategic risk taker.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now in saying that, I think that's what's leading to, I think you said something about efficiency.
Yeah.
How was that? How did that help? How was that self-care productive when it comes to your efficiency in life in general?
Because it sets apart a routine. And I think when you get in a routine and you're accomplishing things that you set, and you're reaching goals that you set for yourself, you're going to feel a lot happier. So even if you have a major goal and you have little milestones that you want to hit, and you also have like side milestones that you want to hit, like, it's really, if you think about like Grand Theft Auto, like, or any RPG video game, to where you have the main story, you know, you want to finish the story, but there's other things around. Like, there might be a side mission to where you have to taxi some movie star from point A to point B and then fight off bad guys. Like, there could be to where you want to up your stats, like your endurance stats, so you ride a bike to a mission instead of driving to it. Like, you want to get your shooting stats up, so you go to the shooting range instead of it with different guns and everything. So it's just
when you get the dog and you got to build up the dog to make sure.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's just like, I just realized I lived my entire 2019 as if I was playing GTA.
Once again, wonder why it's bringing.
Yeah. Like, I'm in a new city. I don't know anybody. I just got to make it. Like, and then I make contacts throughout. And it was funny. Like,
that is
going down there, just meeting people. Like, I would go so many places just by myself. Like, because we live, luckily, a mile from downtown. And so I would just go to places and just vibe and just meet people. And some people like, hey, what's up? And I just introduce myself to people. So I end up making a bunch of different friends in places to where I'd have never made those connections.
So, okay. So since we're talking about self-care, you got a powerful story. And I think if you got a very powerful story, and I'm looking forward to being able to read about this one day. I can see this being a number one seller. I can definitely see this being something that somebody is going to pick up, and not just pick up because, but somebody be inspired. That's why I really I'm excited to have you on the podcast. Because that and I'm really happy, not just because you're my cousin, but just in general, because first off, because you are my cousin, but I'm happy that it shows who you are and the strength of what you are able to do. Now that things are going pretty smooth, now that you have like a balance, a better balance in life in general, do you find yourself having other areas in which you can apply self-care methods or anything like that to keep you sane or keep you on a balance?
I can. I think, and like I said, this may not work for everybody, but if you come from a situation to where, even if you may not have liked it, structure or discipline helped you stay happy, like you're happiest at those times, that's what you have to go back to. Mm. And like, being like, or sports is like, I have to train, I have to do these drills, I have to practice outside of practice, because with the end result, with what I'm trying to achieve, the end result is going to make me happier.
Okay.
And I'm going to wish that I had that structure and everything else.
So it's so crazy because when we was talking about this the other day, and if anybody got, I see we got a couple of viewers that's popping in and popping out. So if you got any questions, like I said, we talking about. Oh, you gotta make sure.
Oh yeah, my fault.
No, I did the same exact thing. I'm like, how do I get this? But no, it's all good. But I think one of the things, like when we was talking about this, we start talking about, okay, so what's examples of self-care? Mm-hmm. Like for me, and I just realized this the other day. That's why I posted the picture. I don't know if you've seen it, but for me, my wife just bought me a fire pit for Father's Day. And let me be honest with you, I've lit that fire pit every week, at least once or twice, every single week since Father's Day. So I realize, and I just go out there, I light the fire pit, and we know we just had a crazy snowstorm on Tuesday. But I shoveled the driveway, I brought the fire pit out, I got my speaker, my Bluetooth speaker in the garage, so I let that sit in the garage. And I go out there, I vibe out, I might have me a cocktail, I might have me some wine or whatever the case may be, but I just listen to music. And my wife used to go out there she used to always be out there every once in a while. She always find her way out there. Hmm. What's up, Tosh? She said, hey, y'all, I'm sorry. She had to finish watching the game. Oh, shoot. I normally try to keep up. Who won? Did they win?
We won.
Oh, we did? Okay. I should ask you, because I knew that you dedicated Browns fan. Right. But back to what I was saying, one thing that I found out for me is my fire pit is one of my self-care activities. Right. Like for when I was younger, me and my best friend, like I said, shout out to Mr. K, the producer. I know he's watching. I know he's listening. Me and him used to be into video games. Another thing, I'm into wrestling. I watch wrestling like crazy. So outside of those, I'm just telling you, those are a couple of things that I do. Can you tell? Oh, she said 9-3, baby. Okay. I see it. They got nine. They won. But outside of that, 9-3. Got you. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, what are some of the things that you can see as self-care? And if you go back, if you're just now joining us, I would really suggest you listen to the beginning part of this this podcast, because he just my cousin, we always known him as Baby Terry, but he has an amazing story about certain things that he went through for the last 10 years, which I can understand, I can relate. Yesterday was my youngest brother's birthday, but yesterday is also the 10-year anniversary of my sister passing, my one and only sister passing. So I can understand like that. He talked about how self-care is productive activity to put you in a different place. But initially, when you go through stresses and you go through losses and you go through things, you can commonly turn to unproductive things or destructive things.
Right.
And how he went through certain things like that. But he had to find himself to remove himself from his self-care method was removing himself from all the negativity and putting himself in a place and surrounding himself with positivity. And that's not always easy. But how can we, if we can't move to Orlando like you did, Right. Is there any things, what could you say, what methods can you say would be beneficial to you?
For me, and I think, yeah, that's for other, it's hard, man. It's, I'm the ability and the confidence in myself to just leap comes that's from, true. And I think I'm in a different situation because I have so much support mentally from my family on both sides to where I know I can call at least somebody from the other side, from somebody from my bloodline to like kind of get advice or something. It's just, you have to, with depression, it's weird because people tell you, hey, if you're ever feeling depressed, just call me. If you're ever feeling depressed, just text me or something. And you feel that, but you also like, I don't want to be a bummer to this person because this person has family, like they have kids that they have to deal with. They don't want to have to worry about it. And so you become more isolated. But for me, it's just you say trusting, trusting the people when they say, hey, you have to give them the chance to actually fulfill that. You know, like if someone says, hey, call me when you're feeling down. And but most times you're not feeling down at an opportune time. Like it's like 11:30 on a Wednesday when everybody's got to go to work the next morning. It's like, hey, man, I'm teetering. But I think part of it was the self-care of Matt and his mom, like big for me, for them. It's just that like if anything had to talk about, he was in the next room. And there's been a bunch of times where I just bust in like, Matt, I need to talk to you. And he would just listen or I talk to him. Like getting out that ability to whatever I'm thinking, just put it out there.
So you said something that's very important. And I don't think it's accidental. I think it's crazy this lifetime that we live in. I think it's very wild how it seemed like whenever we really need to talk, it's not the opportune time to talk to people. Mm-hmm. I remember specifically when I was separated, how I was alone. And most of the time it would happen, as a matter of fact, not just when I was separated. And then after Sharia had passed away, most of the time that I needed to talk to people was when we would usually have the connection time, which was late at night. When we sit in the bed and we talking about how the day been or what we seen on the news, or I can't believe the kids were saying this or whatever case may be. And it was like that intimate time is the hardest time. Mm-hmm. And that's the easiest. Now we just go be real.
Yeah.
That's when you start going to the strip spots. That's when you start going to the bars. That's when you start having the drinks. That's when you start smoking. That's when you start, because that's the most easily accessible thing.
Right.
That's how I found it. That's exactly how I found it. Like, that was the easiest time for me to start going through stuff. And I didn't really want to pick up the Bible and read the Bible. I didn't really want to do nothing positive. And I was just like, I just needed this, that loneliness or that depression or that sadness. You're gone.
You live in it. It's a weird thing. Like, you live in it and you become so used to it that it becomes your home. You're able to operate out of it. You're able to go to work, able to go play soccer, you're able to go talk to people. Like you're able to be around people, but you're still just living in it. And when you're trying to get out of it, when you do get out of it, you kind of like, is this real? Am I really allowing myself to be happy? But like, you still go back to what that home is. For me, the reason why this time at moving was better than when I, back in 2011, when I tried to kill myself, was that I was gone. So I had to be productive.
That's good.
So it's like, I dove into being productive. Like I was working 6 days a week just cause wanted to pay for stuff, but just like, yo, I need to be productive. And 6 days a week, because most of those days, my homegirl Val was there. So it's like, I kind of just leaned into like, yo, no, I'm leaving this behind me. Like there may be bouts of depression and sadness, but I'm not gonna live in it like I did.
Yeah, I ain't got time to. That's like what Tosh just said. She said and this is very important. And this is why when you called me, no matter what time it was, when you text me, you called me, and you said, "Hey, cuz, I didn't need to talk." Unless I was at work in a meeting or something like that, where I really couldn't talk, or unless I had something going on with my children that I needed, that they needed my attention or something like that, just like Tasha said, she said, whenever she offered to be there, you just want to make sure, and this might be going out for somebody else who might listen to this. When, if you offer somebody, I'm here for you, I got your back. People offered that to me when Sharia passed away. And I'm gonna be honest, I call people out on it. I made sure I called people out on it. Like, if you ever need to talk, our auntie Trish, she can tell you. I call her many times, and when it was late at night, like, Trish, I need to talk to you. I just need somebody to talk to. I'm going through this. I'm dealing with this. So it is important. And I think as you transition, because I like the position and the placement that you are moving towards, Terry. Because as you transition, I guarantee what was the same way that people had to be there for you, you're going to see yourself, if you haven't already, and I'm not saying that you haven't already, but find yourself being there for other people in that same way.
It, for me, it's I never want someone to feel abandoned. So I tell people, like, and I hit my friends up now, and they'll tell you, like, hey, man, how's your mental health? Uh-huh. Like, I've done that. Like, yo, how's your mental health? How's everything going? Because I've been in that. And I think the hardest part was I was 2018, just like, I hated it, but I'm happy for it. But man, I hated it. Mm-hmm. Just because the position where I am now. Mm-hmm. But then it's just like, I did not want to be in, I lost relationship, dad, all that, one, like, future. I had no idea what the future was. And I got back to that part to where 2013, 2014, just like, yo, I don't care if I make it to 30. Like, I wasn't, there'd be days where, like, I actively wanted to kill myself. But then there's days like, hey, if I die, I'm not going to be mad. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like recognizing when you're in that space, if you have a way out that's productive, do it. Because alcohol is a depressant and it's not going to feel better. After, you're just going to feel sick and depressed. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I was able through the actions that I took, I recognized these opportunities to be in a better spot mentally. Mm-hmm. And I can honestly say, like, I enjoyed Orlando. I never thought it was going to be my forever city, mm-hmm. but I'm so glad. Like, it was literally my vacation. Was my vacation.
How long were you down there?
Like 9 months.
Okay, that's what's up.
And I worked hard and I was glad to be in that space. And I was in an area to where I didn't have to worry about my safety. Mm-hmm. Everything that I wanted to do was super nearby. I still had contact with my friends and family and stuff from up here. And even when things like my aunt died on Easter, my mom's side, she passed away, rest in peace on Sherry. And I realized, like, as much as it hurt and I wanted to be with my family, my place was in Orlando to still continue healing.
Okay.
And I used that opportunity to just pray to her, speak to her, tell her how much I love her. Because that was my aunt. We had the same birthday. Mm-hmm. And we got closer as she was getting closer to pass, because I lived with my grandmother, and so obviously she's going to see her mom. And so I saw my aunt a lot. We had a lot of conversations. She gave me a lot of encouragement. And talking to her, she was one of those people that, like, gave me the jump to, like, yo, go heal. Go be you.
So,
No,
go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Keep going.
And so it's like having that relationship get strengthened again. And just like, yo, your family's going to love you. They know. And I told my guys, like, I'm not doing this to just run away from everything. I'm literally doing this so I can feel whole again. I need to put myself in a position to where no matter what I'm going through, I still need to be productive. Because it's very easy to fall into those cracks in Columbus, mm-hmm. because I'm home. I recognize everything. But it's just like in Orlando, everything was new. And so I had to become the best version of myself and become the best version for other people while there, if that makes sense.
It does. It makes a lot of sense. And I think we're really getting it. What I set out to do with the first show, and if you just now joining us, like I said before, we are going to have three different sessions, at least three different sessions on self-care. this was the first session. I wanted to kind of jump back into what we talked about last week to carry us into where we're at now, which was why self-care, self-love or self-care is important. Why self-care or self-love is important, especially when going through depression and stuff like that. And we also touched on how the image of self-care can be just as harmful if it's not true, because it was more of just wanting to feel good or just wanting to stop hurting or stop being in pain. So it's not, that's the difference between destructive and productive. Because self-care should always show production. Self-care should always show functioning or advancement to a different level productively. So I like that. One thing that I, and like I said, next week we're going to be talking to a nurse. Next week I'm going to have a nurse because I also believe that self-care self-care should have an active health component. And if people don't know, what is it, 2017, right before I got married, I had a mild heart attack. And it was so crazy because it was on Father's Day. I set out to go to visit my father. It was the Saturday before Father's Day. So I went to Akron. I went to go hang out with my dad. I told my dad, okay, I'm coming up here. We go hang out. I just stopped working at one job, and I was supposed to start a new job that Monday. So I went to go visit my dad on that Saturday, and I had a mild heart attack. So there are certain things that I had to do health-wise to start making sure that I'm taking care of myself, because what it comes down to is just like you're saying, I like the fact that you got yourself together, that you had to go and hit a reset, that you had to go and take care of yourself. One of the main reasons that you had to do that is because there's them babies that's depending on you.
Right.
See, I got to take care of myself because I got, not only do I have a wife, not only do I have Lamar, Shamar, and Serenity, but I got my cousin, Terry. I got my mom, Gina. I got my dad, Dorsey. I got my uncles. I got my aunties. I got my best friend. I got my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law. I got all of these people who want to see us. So self-care. Now, guess what? If something happened to me naturally, we know what's going on. We know where I'm going and all the other stuff. But we also, we can cut our life short by actions that we're taking. Yes, mm-hmm. I do believe that many people do have certain things I do believe that there's a time frame that we have on our life, and we can get into this on a whole different conversation, but I do believe there's a time frame we have in our life, but I do believe we also that we have actions that can shorten it as well.
Right.
The Bible teaches that when it talks about, you know, in one of the commandments, honor thy mother and father, or the days of your life will be cut shorter. So it let us know that we have certain actions that we can take that can dictate how short, and not trying to go all into that.
You're fine.
But I did want to kind of give you the opportunity, because I really appreciate, I wanted to kind of open the door up a little bit so that people can know what we're getting into for the next couple of weeks. Next week, we are going to have a nurse on. I will have a nurse on with me. I will have my smother, my wife's mother. She called her smother, stepmother. This woman is amazing. I watched her, and I really want to do some things with. I want to have her on here in a couple weeks after that, because I got to, because my next topic is going to stem off of a part of her expertise. But before we go, Terry, what I would like for you to do me a favor and just kind of round up kind of what we talked about and give us your final words of wisdom, except when it comes to depression, when it comes to sadness, but also when it comes to the necessity of self-care.
If I can summarize it, just kind of cliff notes it. I'm for the first time in 33 years, I'm off words. Yeah, it's hard to, because I want to give good sound advice, but I know anecdotally it worked for me. If you can, if you're in a bad area, a bad situation, bad energy, and you can leave, make a plan to leave. Even if you come leave and come back, but make a plan to leave. If you see yourself reaching back for that pain that you were escaping from, recognize that and tell someone. There are many different outlets. If you're dealing with depression, there's talkspace.com. There's so many different, there's websites too, to where you can just talk to somebody. If you feel like you have no one to lean on, try to find somebody else, like outside. Be open and honest with your feelings, and just be try to be productive. What, however you were when you were productive, try to get back to that.
I like that. One thing that I like about what you just said, though, I like how you mentioned the accountability partner. You said find somebody, like, because I know I'll be honest with you, and my lifestyle is an open book right now. I've done a lot of stupid stuff, and I don't have a problem with talking about the stupid stuff, the dumb stuff, the mistakes that I made, simply because, you know, God allowed me to be free from them. At the same time, I know that what I've been through can potentially help somebody. And at one point in time, I had to deal with an addiction that most guys don't really talk about, which was porn. I did. And it's okay. I'm okay with saying that. But in during that time, and I'm not justifying it, I'm not making that happy or nothing like that, but during that time, I had to reach out to my uncle. I had to reach out to Cornell. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to Cornell about it. And I think one of the things that we don't realize is the power behind communication, the power behind opening up to people, the power that goes into having somebody, talking to somebody who can help you be accountable to certain things. And I think that's what helped me get through that portion of my life. That's what helped me work through those things, was being able to have accountability. And in the same sense, you are absolutely right. I think that you do gotta, first off, you have to be real with yourself. You have to be honest with yourself. So when you see yourself dealing with stuff, if you see yourself going in a spiral where it's going to be hazardous to what you're doing and your productivity, then that's when you might have to question it. Just like you said, I agree with you. Surround yourself with some positive people. Surround yourself with things that's going to help you. Remember, just like you said, and I think you just set the tone, and I appreciate what you're doing here, because you set the tone for the next two. You set the tone for more than just these next two shows, but for sure for the next two shows, when you said that self-care has a lot to do with productivity. It's something productive, not destructive. So
I don't mean like productive in like defense where you have to make money, but like productive is in like you have a goal that you're working towards. Like if you want to paint, make sure you're painting every day. If you want to color, make sure you're coloring every day. If you want to mow the lawn or play tiddlywinks, you be the best tiddlywink player you can think of. Like you something to where there's a new goal that you want to reach every day, and it's something that you're doing that keeps you away from being destructive.
That's what's up. So, cousin, one more thing before you go. If anybody want to talk to you, if anybody want to hear from you, as a matter of fact, you got your own podcast.
I do.
Please let them know, where can they listen to you? Where can they reach you at?
This is going to sound really bad too. Uh-oh. So it's Chaos Therapy on Spotify. It's through the Anchor app. It's also on Apple iTunes podcast. Just Chaos Therapy. It's on
Chaos Anchor. Therapy.
Yeah, Chaos Therapy. Okay. It was Chaos Reigns. Was like, let's go therapy. I am about 50 episodes in. It's definitely not as well structured as this. It's me and a few of my friends around. Society, just Chaos Therapy. I actually did an episode today that right before I did this one. So it's just, thank you so much, man. It's just,
no problem.
I love talking to you. Every time I talk to you, I feel better.
Most definitely. And it ain't supposed to be the same. Look, if we doing the same thing, then why are we doing this? Why are we both doing this? That's why we able to have two separate shows. That's why you can bring the certain things that you bring, because you bring a whole different, if you want to hear somebody have some intellectual conversation, but break it down so simplified, then you got to check out a couple of editions of his Chaos Therapy. I listened to him. I mean, him worked on, I was on his podcast, and we had, like I said, almost 2 hours of conversation. And it was just flowing. It really worked. So we can do this all day, but you know, I definitely, for the fact that I want people to come back and I want people to listen to me a little bit more, I gotta cut it short.
I get it, man. I get it. Trust me.
So everybody, once again, it's your boy L Wonder. And we did have my little cousin, Baby Terry. And he got his own podcast, Chaos Therapy. Please check him out. Outside of that, like I said, we doing this thing. Next week, we are going to have a very dear person to my heart. She's one of the best nurses that I know. No shade to no other nurses, but she definitely is one of the best out here. And it's to the point where she started her own nursing business. And she's going to give her perspective on self-care from a health perspective. So once again, it's your boy, L Wonder. And thank you for tuning in to Wonder Why. Deuces, have a good time. Yeah.